So last week, when we spoke, we were talking about renewing our minds. How many of y'all were here last week? Good, good. So we were talking about renewing our minds last week. It was really powerful. God did a lot to just share with us. So today I want to talk about how to go ahead and lay hold of your healing. And some of you, most of you here actually, already know how to pray for other people, know how to see manifestations of the Spirit of God in people's bodies. So I'm just going to give you some good points and some verses to remember, because it's really nice. How do I want to say this? If you get a few, five smooth stones, like Pastor Trey said, or some really sharp arrows in your quiver, or some really high-grade bullets, however you want to look at it, that are really powerful, that you are skilled at using. And when you can get some verses that are just your ammo, the devil really doesn't have a leg to stand on. Amen? And we can really go after these things. And it's really important that we have just a few really good scriptures. I mean, they are alive inside of you, not just magpieing or parroting those verses, but they are real for you. It's really important. So we're going to be talking about healing today. Praise the Lord. Number one, point number one, approach God with faith and confidence. We talked about that several, I don't know who I've been teaching. I've been teaching this a lot the last month or so. And that is faith. Faith, 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 faith. Faith is a big deal. Faith is a real big deal. So we have been saved by grace through faith, right? Faith, we need to believe by faith so that we can lay hold of things. And we talked about this word faith is really trust and confidence, assurance, this unmovable persuasion that is in you. And when you become the unmovable object, that means everything else has to be what moves out of the way or in place, right? When you are the one that does not change like God, then your circumstances must. So we need to have faith and confidence in God. And that's a biggie. If some of us need to stop just right there on having that right there. Do you truly have confidence in God? For you, in you, Christ in you, that relationship with Him, is that vital and real for you? Is that your life comes from that? And when we have that real confidence and that trust in Him, then we can move forward on all these things. But if that's dislocated or broken, then we're doing all these things in hopes that God out there is going to move on my behalf. Does that make sense? Instead of God with me is moving. So, first scripture, Hebrews 4:16. Let's look at Hebrews 4:16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Our faith needs to be in God, that we can actually come to Him in whatever our circumstance is, whatever we're dealing with, whether it's something we need to overcome in our heart or mind or past, or whether it's a healing that we need to take place, or whether it's a new job, whatever it is that we are needing a solution to or resolution to, that we can come boldly into His presence, knowing that He's actually going to help us. Number one, God really will do it. Remember the story of the guy that says, "If you're willing, you'll heal me of the leper." Do you guys remember that? And God said, "I'm willing." We've got to get that settled in our heart that He is willing. He is for me. He is on my side. Number one. Number two, we need to believe in the power of prayer. That's another good one. We have to believe in the power of prayer. Do you believe that your prayers work? That when you pray, they come to pass? That's a biggie. Again, so often, and I'm not saying these are wrong, because there's all kinds of prayers. There's truly many, many kinds and forms of prayer. But this is the prayer that when you're requesting of God that you need a solution to a problem, a resolution, a healing in your body, a new job, whatever, a relationship restored, whatever it is, that you really know that he's on your side. Mark 11:24, one of my favorite scriptures. I bet you guys love it too. I love this verse. I just absolutely love it. And it's written this in other places too. I love this. Therefore I say to you, whatever thing you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Isn't that simple? That is really, really simple. If you ask for it, he gives it to you. Just believe you've gotten it. And man, when we can do that, when we can just pray and say, Lord, I just believe. You don't even have to use those words. You just ask and just settle it down in your heart and know that you will. I don't know if you guys were here. Maybe it was a Sunday night I was teaching about faith. And I said, just believe God for something simple and easy. You know, don't make it the most important thing in your life right now. Go back up 10 steps and get something really easy to believe God for. And I said, like, believe God you're going to see a baseball rolling down the street or sitting somewhere. Just, Lord, reveal a baseball to me. I mean, is that kind of simple or what? And all of a sudden, that was a Sunday night. So Tuesday night, boom, all of a sudden, sitting on my wife's desk at the ministry, brand new baseball just sitting there. There's no reason a baseball would ever be on my wife's desk. But for some reason it was. I'm going along, all of a sudden it's like bing, 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 like a radar. I just saw that thing. I wasn't even trying to see it. It was just there because I'd asked and I'd believed. I didn't think of it again. It never crossed my mind again until I saw it. And then boom, boom, boom. So then I'm telling Bruce about it the other day. I said, look how fast that came. I knew I was going to see it because I kept saying we were going to see it. And so he goes, okay, believe for something else. I go, what do you want to believe for? He goes, a bar of gold. And I said, all right, let's believe something that our heart's not going to reject as soon as we say it, okay? Let's get something that our heart is easy to say yes, so there's no doubt and unbelief mixed in, right? So then he goes, okay, $100 bill. I go, okay, $100 bill. Then I'm going along. Sure enough, yesterday somebody gave me $100 bill. It's like, okay, Lord, if you just let it go, if you just ask and just believe you're going to receive and let it go. Okay, so that's not the end all beat all. So then, okay, I got those two under my belt in this week. So then do I go straight for heal me of epilepsy right now? Is that where I go? Maybe if you're really locked into that. But if you're not into it, just keep going. Believe for the next thing. What's the next thing you can believe for? We have to examine ourselves to make sure we're in the faith. To really test ourselves. Do you really believe God? Jesus Christ is in you. Do you believe it? Is it a real relationship with you? Is it his will to truly give you all things richly to enjoy? Do you really accept that as your reality or not? If not, go back to step one. Get your faith and confidence back in God again. Build that relationship with him. Come into his presence where you can receive mercy or grace, whatever it is you need at this time, and receive that from him. Amen? And you just got to get those steps settled in your heart instead of jumping all the way to number 10 and you haven't got the other ones in place. It's a lifelong process of being transformed. But it should be taking place. I know it is in you guys here in the room. I can't speak for anybody out there on the video land. But step by step, a little bit here, a little bit there, and as we're being transformed bit by bit, it's a sure, definite transformation that's taking place. It's not some idle decision that we make and then forget about it in 2 hours, right? And we're off onto something else. This is real transformation that's taking place in the spirit. So Mark 11:24, believe and you've received. So the next one is pray in the name of Jesus. For those of you that are taking notes, pray in the name of Jesus. You can teach for a week just on that one right there. So how many of y'all pray in the name of Jesus? Raise your hand, let me see. Everybody says they are. Great. So this, I want to ask you this. Is this praying in the name of Jesus? Father, I ask you for a better job, that I can make this much money, and I believe you that you're delivering it to me in the name of Jesus. Amen. Is that praying in the name of Jesus? Somebody shake your head yes or no. Give me some response. It works for her, she says. So the name of Jesus has a tagline at the end of your prayer. Is that what he's talking about? No, they're saying back there. Excellent answer, actually. No. Can you put it as a tagline? Yes. Is the church trained to put it as a tagline? Yes. When you hear other people pray, do they do it? Yes. So can you do it? Yes. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about coming as Jesus in this circumstance. And that's the thing. When I come in the name of Pastor Trey, when I'm speaking to you, who's speaking to you? Your brain is saying, Pastor Trey. You're linking to Pastor Trey as I'm speaking to you in his name. When I come in his name, it's him telling you something. Does that make sense? Right? Or if the child comes home and goes, Mom said you need to clean your room. Well, I don't want to clean your room. Don't gripe at me. Mom said you need to clean the room. I'm just the messenger, right? Okay. So when we come in the name of Jesus, we are representing him himself in this moment. You guys with me? So sometimes when we are needing healing or something like that, we come in our own name and we're approaching Jesus or the Father or Holy Spirit in our own name, trying to get something from him. With me? So he's saying here that we need to come in the name of Jesus. So let's look at this verse. John 14:13-14. And John 15 talks about it a lot also, but I like John 14. In John 14:13-14. Ready? And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And I've got this little note in my Bible. That word, do it, actually means make it. I will make it. Whatever it is you ask it in my name, I'll make it. Whatever it is you need, he says, I'll make it. I'll do it. I'll bring it to pass. I'll make it happen. So he's saying that when we come in his name, in other words, we're asking for the exact same thing he would be asking for in this circumstance or situation. And when we're making a request of him of something that he would do also, he'll make it happen. He'll do it. Okay? And that goes right along with this coming in the name of Jesus. So when we are representing him in our circumstance, then he's going to make it happen because it's him. Right? It's Christ in us. And we need to get that settled. When we want to be praying for people for healing and seeing the manifestation of healing, we need to actually come in the name of Jesus and not our own name. And when we do that, he will not deny us. It will take place. He'll do it. He'll make it happen. Amen? All right, number 4. This is a good one. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I don't suffer from this one nearly as much as I used to. But I really used to suffer from this one. And I would pretend I wasn't suffering from this one. Does that, you know what a hypocrite is? A hypocrite is an actor. It's a facade. It's a false front. And so I used to think that, okay, if I just don't give it away that I'm freaking out right now, maybe the devil won't notice it, you know? And I used to be tripping when I had to go pray for somebody because, honestly, I was coming in my own name. I wasn't connected to the Father. I didn't feel like I had a great relationship with Him. And I was really nervous whether it was going to work or not. So I was guilty of this for the longest time in my walk. And I'm telling you, what cures this is relationship with God. And that's Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. You have to surrender your worries and your anxieties to God. Listen, He created us. There's nothing about us that surprises Him. And if we're anxious or we're concerned about something, just share it with Him. Be real. Just be real with Him. And I had to learn how to talk to God real. Not vent, flip out, just really, Lord, you know, I really want to do this right now, but I'm freaking out on the inside. And what's going on inside of me that I haven't got trust at this moment? What is it where I am more concerned about myself right now than You manifesting? Do I not believe You will right now? What's happening inside of me, Father? Holy Spirit, what should I look at? How should I pray? What do You want me to do? And what that does is it disarms me and lets me settle back down into my relationship with God so that I know we're connected again because I've let all that anxiety and worry go. I am not on my own trying to make it work. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And that prayer is just talking to God, speaking out of your mouth, worshiping Him, telling Him who He is. Supplications is your request. What is it you need? What do you need from God? With thanksgiving, knowing that whatever you request from Him, He's going to say yes. Because you're coming in His own name. You're coming in His will. Yes is the answer you're going to get. Amen. I've got like 9 tracks going in my mind right now. Can you guys see it? They're like going, and I'm doing my best to stay focused in Jesus' name. All right, the next one. Let's read verse 7. And the peace of God, when you're anxious, that is exactly what we need, the peace of God. So when we're there and we've talked to Him and we've let it all go before Him, then the peace of God, which is so much greater, so far beyond our understanding, it's beyond what we can hold in our mind. It's literally a possession that takes us over, this peace of God. And that presence of being one with Him. So let me back up. Having peace with God is to be made one with God again, okay? It's to have right standing between you and Him to where you and He are one and there's no disqualifying, there's no judgment, there's no, you're not living up to my expectations, well, I'll let you in this time, but it's none of that. It's complete, clean connection, oneness, okay? In fact, the word irony, peace, is actually, it says, plus set at one again. So it's quietness with God. It's being set right with God and then being made one again with Him. That's the peace of God. So when we get anxious, what usually is happening is we're out on our own trying to make something happen or hoping that it's going to happen because I say it or hoping it's going to happen just because I put my hand on it. But invisibly inside, I'm tripping. And so that's where We need to just bring it to Him, lay it all out. Don't be anxious. Pray. Have a thankful heart that it's going to pass, so that His connection with us again, that reconnection of being at peace with Him, goes far beyond anything that our mind can comprehend. And when we're reunited with Him, it guards your heart and mine through Christ Jesus. It almost like seals you, force fields you, protects you, envelops you, goes before and with and after you, above you and below you. It is Himself, His own very presence is with you. And when you're in those moments like that, I'm telling you, faith is just there. You know you're in right standing with Him. And when you're right standing with Him, then your life comes from that faith, because you're righteous. And that righteousness, that being right with Him, is huge. You guys with me still? Okay. All right. Number 5, pray with others for healing. Pray with others for healing. Number 5. So we're going to look at James, and we're going to look at verse 14 and 15 of chapter 5. Go there with me. So I want to look at, I'm going to start in 13. It's not on the screen. I'm just going to start on 13, then you guys jump on the screen with me. It says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. I just want to qualify that. If you're suffering, you need to pray. Not me, for you. You need to pray. If you're suffering, you need to pray. Because your suffering is coming from being disconnected from God, and the devil's beating you up. And it's time for you to get reconnected with God so that the devil can't beat you up. So if you're suffering, you pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing. Well, that just makes sense, right? That makes total sense. If you're happy, you don't expect me to sing a song for you, right? Because you're in a good mood? You want me to sing a song for you? No, of course not. If you're happy, you're going to sing. If you're suffering, you're going to pray. Does that make sense? Okay, we're going to divide some responsibilities up here in these next verses. Let him sing psalms if you're happy or cheerful. Verse 14, is anyone among you sick? Let me qualify sick. Does any of you have a fever? Okay? Do you have the cold, the flu, COVID, something like that? Are you sick? Okay? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save, make heal, sozo, make well the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. I love this verse. I love this verse. Why do you think I love it so much? Because I love this verse that if a person is sick, how did they even get that way? How did we even get sick? How did we catch some sickness? How is that even possible? I'm not saying I don't get sick occasionally. I do. Not all the time, not long time, but every so often I will get sick. But I can usually trace it back myself to not standing in faith, not having a good, clean relationship with the Lord, not being focused that I'm in the name of Jesus and operating spiritually. I slip from that. And when I notice that I slip from that and I get distracted by maybe too much television or Facebook or social media or partying, Christian partying, or anything else, you know, too much time fellowshipping with my friends and talking about the things of this world instead of pressing into the kingdom of God. If I get out there too far and I'm kind of getting carnal, not disgustingly sinful, just carnal, sense ruled, getting into my flesh and my senses, and I get a little bit too fleshly, then I've noticed that then if sickness comes, I hear this voice inside of me say, I caught a cold, or I'm sick, or I have a fever. And I hear my mouth say those things. And for me, I don't know about you guys, but for me when that happens, it's almost always at nighttime when I'm sleeping is when that happens. Because I'm least on guard at that time. And then that's when that tries to get me. Because any other time when it tries to get me, I mostly can get a handle on it pretty quickly. Mostly, like within a few hours. But not always. Sometimes I don't. And so if I've been sinning, and I don't mean disgusting, terrible things. I mean I am not on target. Then I'll be restored. He'll forgive me for that, and I can get back into it. Now, some of you, if you're sinning and you got sick because you're totally out of the covering of God, then for you, you'll be refreshed too. Your sins will be forgiven. Isn't that exciting? I think it's exciting. All right. So that's pray for others for healing. And then number six is seek forgiveness and repentance. So if a person's been sick for a long time and something's blocking it and they're not seeing the results of that thing and something is in the way and we just don't know what it is, that's when they need to check their heart. That's when we need to ask them. Now, I want to say this. That should not be our default solution. That absolutely should not be our default thing. What our personal default thing should be is that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are anointed. That we are of the Spirit. We are citizens of heaven. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. As Jesus is right now, so am I in this world. When I come in His name, I come as Him in this circumstance. And His Spirit is with me. And it's the Spirit that is the power of God unto salvation. And He's the one working through me as me, right? And so you and I are coming from that crystal clear point of view usually. But if we are praying for somebody and it's not happening, there's something blocking it, and we don't know what it is, and we're not getting results, I would suggest asking them, is there somebody that they have to forgive? Is there something they're holding in their heart? Are they angry with somebody? What is shutting down the flow of God? What's not letting the flow of God enter into them at this moment? What's blocking it? And I would go there. So on James, it says, Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. I'm going to stop right there. So here's the thing. In recovery, it's a little bit different when I'm ministering in our recovery ministry. It's different than in a church, okay? In the recovery ministry, they know they're broken. They know they've ruined it. They know they don't have any more resources available to them, and most of their relationships are completely ruined. They know it. And because they know it, I can talk point blank straight in their face about these things, and it's not offensive. It's healing because they're so bound up, they just need to be set free. So they will do whatever I tell them to do. And they will go in their heart and mind wherever I ask them to go. And they will invite the Holy Spirit in. And they will let Him show them those things so they can renounce them or forgive those people or themselves. And in some cases, even forgive God. And then they can get set free. It's not so easy in the church. It's really, really not that easy in the church. And I'm not saying any of you here or any of you watching, but I am saying that in the church, it's harder to confess your trespasses to one another. And that is because people aren't necessarily spiritual that are sitting in the pews. They aren't necessarily spiritual, and I'm sorry to say that. And they will gossip, and they will try to one-up you. And they will live in a hypocrisy life, a hypocrite, because they don't want anybody to reject them or think they're less spiritual than they're presenting to one another. And I'll tell you straight up, I'm just being honest with you. I think just about everybody I meet is less spiritual than they're trying to present to me. Unless you have no airs at all. You absolutely know you're messed up and you need help. Then you're not projecting any airs. But if you kind of got your act together a little bit, most of the Christians I come in contact with are trying to allow me to think they're more further along than they really are spiritually. Because they think that somehow it's disqualifies them if they're 100% real with what they're battling and wrestling in their heart and mind and emotions. And the truth of the matter is, you are what you are, and you are where you are. And when we stand before the Lord, who you are is going to be who you are. There's no pretense. It's just the light you have is the light you have. And that's just it. And so when we can start trusting the people around us, even if you just need a small group of people, that you can truly be genuinely transparent with no worry of being judged or rejected when you are, then you can confess to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. It really is magnificent when there's nothing in the closet or behind that we don't want to address, hoping to get the results when we do have these little things. Amen. So in a church setting, it's a lot harder to go for the jugular when it comes to these things. But I would just encourage you, if you're not getting results with somebody that you're praying for, be the safe person for them. Be that safe person that they can feel so comfortable in your presence that they can say, yeah, I've been really afraid of these things happening. Or I've been really concerned that I'm not doing well enough at work and that I might get fired or whatever it is. I'm just trying to make things up right now. To where they can truly be transparent. Yeah, I have been drinking too much and my conscience is starting to condemn me now. Or yeah, I'm justifying getting stoned, thinking that it's okay to do that because God made it and all of that. But somehow inside of me, I know that I probably am pushing it here. Those kinds of things, you know, it lets people get unlocked if you're not seeing results. Amen? So let's look at the next part of this. It says, the fervent, the effective, and fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Gene, you know that scripture. So that heartfelt, on fire prayer of a righteous man. That word fervent, it's like, you ever seen an animal called a ferret? You guys know what a ferret is. It's like a, it's not a squirrel, and it's not a cat or a dog. It's a ferret. It's this animal that's a lot like a mink. They are long, skinny bodies, little short legs, almost like a skinny otter would be, with a little dark mask like a raccoon on and a little tail, and they're kind of musky smelling, you know, and they're an interesting little animal. I used to have a ferret. As a, you did too? An albino. She had a white one. I had just a traditional one. And he caused me to sin a few times. And that ferret of mine, you know, they're really interesting. Okay, I'm not going to go there, Lord. I'm just not going to share some of the habits of ferrets. I'm going to say this. Ferrets love to, they're very inquisitive, and they like exploring. And they'll go into the cabinets, under the bed, under your clothes. If your dress goes to the ground, they'll go under your dress to get under it, to see what's in there, to go under the drapes. They will go, they love checking stuff out. And they go into everything, sniffing everything, going everywhere. And I think ferreting it out is a phrase, right? Have you heard that? They'll ferret it out. What does that mean? They're going to search every square inch and locate it. They will find it. Okay? That's this word, fervent. It translates hot, but it means to ferret it out. It means to really just find it, to really zero in on it. And some of us, as righteous men in God and women in God, that we are in one right standing with Him, we need to, in the Spirit, in our heart, being aligned with God, really be able to see what it is to put your finger on it in the Spirit when you're praying for somebody. Instead of leaving it up to them to tell you. And when I do healing lines, and I've worked for Andrew Mike Ministries for a long time, people would come up to the prayer line, and some of them have a little laundry list of things that are wrong with them. Think, 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 think. And they'll tell me these things, and I'll always say this. I will pray those things for you. But is it okay if I also pray the way the Lord leads me? And they say yes. So I go the way the Lord leads me first. And then if there's anything left over, we'll hit those things on their list. And I let the Holy Spirit show me. I said, Lord, if we ask, we receive. So what's blocking this person right now? And I ask Him. And my hot ferreting out Spirit man is very effective when I'm really listening to Him as He's leading me through a prayer. Amen? And so that heartfelt, the effective heartfelt prayer of a righteous man really does accomplish a lot. And when you're that person, like the auto mechanic, he just has to listen to the car, you know, or drive it just a little bit. And as he's driving it, he's not on a day trip. He's got every fiber of his perception tuned into that vehicle to feel it, to hear it, to smell it. And he's letting every form of his perceptions engage in that vehicle to diagnose the problem. Yes? So spiritually, we can do the exact same thing, because we're coming as the Lord in that moment. Going on. So that was James 5:16. Seek forgiveness and repentance. Number 7, pray in accordance with God's will. Right? I'm not going to do those verses. I'm going to do 1 John 5:14-15. You guys want to turn there? Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. When we really have the confidence to know that whatever I ask of Him according to His will, and what's His will? His word? Yes. What else? His praise. His ways and love. I want to include love. God is love, and He commands us to love one another. As we love ourselves and to love others above ourselves and before ourselves and to love God. And so God is love, and He really wants us to be able to love one another. So having the will of God, in other words, if we're operating by love, you know, the Bible says faith works by love in Galatians. So this having confidence in God and trusting God and believing God and being set in what we're believing for, it works by loving people. And when the love of God is leading us, because we're in relationship with God, coming as God who is love, then the things that we're going for, we can have confidence that those things are going to take place. Are you with me? So, I'm going to read this again. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, I love this, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked Him for. I'm just busting on the inside. I love this, you guys. It is because there's so many verses that say, absolutely, it's ours. Absolutely, it's ours. And so we have to be at this place to where, how do I do this? Okay, I'm going to change tracks here. We have to believe God. We have to, if there's something in the way, we have to get it out of the way. If there's any condemnation or anything in you that is not believing that you're absolutely righteous and holy, just like He is righteous and holy, that you are absolutely loved and accepted, that He absolutely backs us up because we're doing what He wants to do and He wants it done in the world, so He's absolutely doing it through us, and we're tuned into His word and His will of what He wants. When we are there, we will have whatever we say. We will. But I want to add this, so I'm going to come to this side. That's how I change channels. There's a very real devil out there. There's a spirit of this world that is the chief spirit of this world. He is the prince of the air. He is in charge of this planet. That's just the way it is. And he has bamboozled and trained and molded and raised so many people in his will, the spirit of this world. And so the world is hypnotized even to the point of being stuck in a stronghold of this world, that their hearts and minds cannot even comprehend the power of God operating through them. They're just disconnected and unplugged from it. And you have to know that opposition exists. You just have to know it. And in the sweetest Christian person who's hurting and needing results in their life can be absolutely steeped in unbelief. They can. I'm just being honest with you. And so you need to know that you have opposing forces, that when you start believing God for something that you have not been consistently focused and tuned into believing Him for, that you operate in it like any skill set you would learn in the world. You have to learn the skill set from God. And you got to be the small child that comes in not knowing anything and learning how He does it. How does the Holy Spirit bring it to pass? How is it that He does those things? And we have to learn it because He's our teacher. And so we're learning how to operate the way that the Spirit of God operates, the way Jesus operates, the way the Father is. We're learning that. And we have to know that the world is going to oppose us and the devil is going to oppose us. And so in Ephesians 6, it talks about that having done all to stand, that if we walk in the power and the might of the Spirit of God in our inner man, that the world is going to resist us. So what we need to do is when we speak healing in somebody's life or a prophecy into their life, or God shows us something that He's going to do for them futuristically, closely futuristically, like provide another job or a loved one coming into the kingdom or something like that, whatever it is, I'm just making stuff up, that we need to know that we will absolutely be slam dunked on that. That the opposite is going to try to happen. In fact, demonic stuff will even creep up even worse as soon as you get to pray to secure, this is my position. I'm proving to you right now that I'm in charge of this moment and I'm making it worse right now. You've got to understand it only does that because you have real authority. And it doesn't want you to believe that. And so that opposition will absolutely come. Just like in James, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. It's for the testing of your faith. It's to prove to you that you actually have it, so that patience can have its perfect work. That means that you hang in there. It's going to work. Don't you give up. Don't go, well, maybe it's not working, and then you're tossed to and fro Well, maybe it will, maybe it won't. Am I doing it right? Am I not doing it right? Don't do that, because then you don't receive anything. You just wasted all your effort. You need to be convinced that you have the faith. You need to be convinced that God's with you. You need to be convinced this is your right as a son or daughter of God. And then when you speak healing, it's God backing you up. And it's a matter-of-fact done deal. And now any objection to that, you slay it fast and hard. You don't give it 1 second of meditation of your mind, not a second of it. And you slap that thing down quick. It will not rebel against you. And when you do that, that's like putting on the armor of God and standing. You've now set your position and you're the immovable object. This will take place. And the other person say, well, I don't feel it. Don't talk like that. It will take place. Watch and see it take place. And stop your vacillation. It will absolutely happen. We've received it. It's a done deal. Now set it. And you set it and forget it. And I mean truly, you don't labor over it and wring your hands and go, God, I hope it's true. Oh, God, I hope this is going to work. I'm trusting you, Lord. Don't do that stuff. If you're actually in a place of authority and you're actually the boss and it's actually your business and you tell somebody to do something, do you wring your hands? No. It's you're in charge and you know you're in charge. The same way spiritually. The spirit of this world doesn't have the authority you have, but it will test you to see if you do or not. Are you with me? So that's why we have to stand, and when we've done all to stand, stand, having our helmet on of salvation, that I am sealed, I am set, I have eternity in me. It's a done deal, that I have my breastplate of righteousness on. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He doesn't look at me according to my past of the flesh. He looks at me according to what Jesus did. I am a son of God. I am right standing. I am right with God, 100% perfect in his sight. I speak the truth. I live the truth. I am shod with the belt of truth. I've got it set. My feet are ready to talk about the things of God right now. I will talk about it in a heartbeat, and we will bring as much of the kingdom of God into this world as possible. And when we're set in those things and we have the sword of the Spirit and the Word of God and we use it and we speak it with power and authority, we will see results. We absolutely will see results. But the world and the devil and your flesh might need a little bit of convincing. And that's why I say, when you pray, don't move off your position. But if you are at the place where in your heart you're not convinced that the Word of God is true in this moment, that's when you have to be anxious for nothing, like I talked about, and get squared away again and tell your mind, stop. That negative thing, stop. Well, what if it doesn't work? Stop. Stop. God is God. Stop. And just when you practice those things, it's amazing what you will see. I'm not kidding. But like I said earlier, don't go for the biggest thing possible right now, because it's too hard, possibly from where you're just starting from ground zero or one or two steps, to really believe. There's too much unbelief and condemnation and training from the world that you might have to overcome. And so it's easier if you just start where you can believe, where you don't have resistance in your heart, and just get a track record of seeing results. Like some people praying for headaches, it's easy for them. They know if they lay hands on you, the headache's going to go. I don't care if you call it migraine or just a little anxiousness. It goes. There's other people that are really good for back pain. You got back pain? Some people, every time they pray, back pain goes. Some people growing out legs, some people for something else, some people for eyes. It just depends. There's gifts of healings. Find where you flow and operate in that for a while till you get confidence to venture out. Are you with me? This is the practical stuff to really being able to see results. And the more you do that and the more you get, then you actually can prove Galatians 2:20. You're actually living Galatians 2:20. Go ahead and turn to it real quick, and I'll stop with this. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. When we really settle that in our hearts, I don't come in my name. I'm not coming with my agenda. I'm not coming with my list of pleasures that I want to have in this world. I am not coming with something for myself. I'm dead to my stuff. And it's no longer me who's deciding how my life goes anymore, but it's Christ deciding how my life goes. I've given up deciding how I want it to turn out. And it's, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And it's like, you come to the place to where it's the life of God itself that is leading and directing you. It's love and eternity alive inside of you that's setting the people free. And when that's taking place, you can prove this scripture that it is no longer I who live. Like, we can all say Jesus died for our sins, but that doesn't mean he's the only one manifesting through this flesh. Paul could say that. I've died to myself. And that's now, it's not me anymore leading this thing. It's Christ in me. And when you're that person, you will be able to say the very same thing. And I hope that each one of us is going to be able to do that. Amen? Well, bless the Lord. Let me pray. Father, I just thank you for everybody in the room here, Lord, that we all are filled with your Holy Spirit, that you are the God of creation. You are the God that sustains us. You are the God who transforms us, that we can walk in everlasting life. That your life, Father, can be moving in us, bubbling up through us, transforming us, and ultimately transforming this very body into your heavenly body. And I just thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching us, for showing us things that we didn't know, for telling us things we couldn't possibly have known, for letting us understand things that's beyond our years, but it's just normal for you, Lord. That our eyes and our ears and our hearts would be inclined towards you, Holy Spirit, that you can bring to light the hidden things of the hearts so that we can set people free, Lord. So that we can manifest healings, so that we ourselves can walk in complete health, and that each one of us, Lord, in the areas, Father, that we're willing to live with it, you let us. So I ask you, Holy Spirit, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, teach us to let go of those things we're willing to live with, so that we can walk in an even greater dimension of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God is good all the time. Amen. Thank you, brother. You guys are a wonderful audience. Love you much.